before when we were having prayer for him. Let's continue to pray for Miss Jody Black also. Jody was in a car wreck Saturday morning, and she had those two grandbabies in there with her, and it totaled a car. Both airbags came out. When she went to the hospital last night, and I'm pretty sure she's home. Does anybody have any update on that other than what I've said there? What area does she live in?
Atworth.
She lives in Atworth?
Near Alton.
Okay, a little bit of a drive. Also, Danita had her baby. Baby's name's Bethany. The baby, and they, when they call me, they want to make sure I got this weight right. It was 10 pounds and 3.3 ounces. And Kendra sent me a text so she could put it on Facebook. She said, don't say that. I'm going to say it. She said, I want the specifics. Born at 1201, 10 pounds, 3.3 ounces, 32 inches long, and walking with assistance. Big girl. Also, if you would please, continue to pray for Brother Preston's daughter, Star. She is undergoing treatment, and she's lost some weight. She wasn't eating well. She was sick after the baby being born. And let's pray for her. The baby's growing. The baby's up over 10 pounds now. The baby's eating. But let's pray for Star and pray for Preston and his family also. And Preston is a great resource here at the church. He's very faithful. He helps Brother Tom with the Celebrate Recovery and with the prison ministry. And you know, there's some sickness going on in his home. Let's don't forget to encourage and pray for one another. What God has called us to do, a lot of that ministry is more than what goes on here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and even when we have service. And I've heard some of the ladies of the church, and Brother Allen and I were talking about this a little bit ago. Sometimes you can really get busy just ministering to people. But folks, that's what God's called us to do. If you got your Bible, I want to look at Acts chapter number 9, and I want to speak on this subject, dealing with other disciples. And I want to look at this chapter and go through it and look at the disciples and that God had called and what he had equipped them to do, what he gave them, and the things that they experienced. And what you'll find when we look at this story is what they experienced is not a whole lot different than what's being experienced today by some people. They struggle with the same things that we struggle with. And I want to tell you before we read it, the same power that was available to them is available to us. And we have to believe. And I was sitting there in church this morning, and I mean this with all my heart. I want God to do something. I want God to do something in somebody's life. And folks, can I tell you he is? Can I tell you he is? I mean, when we look at what God has done here, the people whom God has touched, who maybe a year ago or a year and a half ago weren't in church at all. People who have been saved, those we've seen baptized, what God is doing, he is. Prayers have been answered, and God does still hear our prayers. So that power is available to us, and we must believe that. Now let's go to St. Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 1, where Jesus says, he then called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet and for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, if we look at this scripture, they were called, they were equipped. God gave them what they needed for the journey. But I want you to also realize that these people were not very much different than you and I. They come from different backgrounds. Some were filled with fear. Some were filled with great expectations. And unfortunately, some were filled with great pride. Now you got to realize, after all, they had been given power and authority over all devils. And I'll say this, and you'll understand this. Sometimes you have to be careful when you promote somebody. You've probably all experienced this at work. You may have been under one of these kind of people. All of a sudden they get a promotion and it's like, where did that come from? Now you got to realize, these men, and they were called, some were fishermen, one was a tax collector, one was a doctor. They were pulled from different places. And he said, I'm equipping you to go out. And he sends them on a journey. And they go out and they start to do all these great things. But after a short period of time, we find that they have a challenge or difficulty that faces them, and they're not able to stand up to the task. If you go down to the 37th verse, it says, it came to pass on the next day that when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, Jesus. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. Well, listen to the 40th verse. It says, and I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. So we see that he equipped them, he blessed them, he gave them what they stood in need of, but for some reason, after a period of time, here's one that they come against, and they could do nothing. Now, it could be that they begin to lose sight of, or maybe to lose understanding about how God had prepared them and given them such a great task to do. Could it be that pride had risen up in them? Could it be that they had lost the passion for the work of God? You say, well, why would I say that? When we get into the scripture, you'll see exactly why I say that. When you see the mindset of these disciples and the things that they said and did in this chapter. Now, they could not cast the devil out of this boy, although it said that they were given power. But it was not because God had not given them what they needed. And here's three things that we look at this scripture that I want us to understand that God gave them. Number one was, he gave them the gospel. He gave them the gospel to preach. That's the good news that Christ had come. Remember what John preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they had the gospel. Number two, he gave them the guts. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, let's go back over to the 7th verse and look at what's happening right in the midst of these disciples being sent out. Look what's placed in this scripture. In the 7th verse, it says, now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. And speaking of Jesus, Herod hearing about Jesus, and of some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to hear him. So they had the gospel. Here's where the guts come from. You saw the video this morning that they were saying that they, even in the midst of persecution, kept looking for their next church. The preacher said that he was willing to die for the church. You know, and it's proven, if you go back through history, that when the church is the most persecuted, that's when the church grows the most. If you look at these disciples, they're right in the midst of Herod beheading John the Baptist. And when they went out with boldness, because they were confident in him who they had both heard and seen. But I want you to see something else that we can get from this scripture. He gave them the gospel, he gave them the guts, but he also gave them the glory. Now, if you look at this scripture also right in the midst of this, from the 28th to the 36th verse, these disciples experienced and they saw the transfiguration of Christ. And this is where God gives us, and sometimes he does this, he gives us just a glimpse of his glory, a filling with his spirit, just an uplifting where he comes in amongst us and he empowers us. And when that power overwhelms us, we got to be careful. It's his. They saw him transfigured before them, and they heard the voice from a cloud in the 35th verse that said, "This is my beloved son, hear him." And as they're there and they're looking at Jesus transfigured, Peter said, "It's good for us to be here." And they wanted to make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and of course, one for Jesus. How did they know it was Moses? How did they know it was Elijah? Do you know that sometimes God allows us to have a certain insight or a certain ability? It's when his spirit speaks to our spirit. It's when he gives us just a little bit of the greatness that is to come. Now, when you see these things and you see what God had done in the lives of these disciples, how he had called them, how he had equipped them, and even they went and they faced an opposition they could not cast out, and you look at the things that God gave them, what I really want to talk about is the problems that the disciples experienced. Because these disciples experienced some difficulties. If you go down to the 11th verse, you see the first problem. The first problem that the disciples had that they experienced was self-centeredness. Now listen to these verses. It says, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him," speaking of Christ. It says, "And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. And he healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and the country round about and lodge and get victuals or food, for we're here in a desert place." You know, if we begin to look at this, and obviously these disciples, they were learning. Of course, Jesus, he looks at them and he tells them, "Will you give them to eat?" And they said, "We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fish, except we should go and buy meat for all this people." It says, "For there were about 5,000 men, and they said to the disciples, Make you sit down in companies of 50. And they did so, and they made them sit down, and they took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And Jesus, looking up to heaven, he blessed them, he brake, and he gave, and he set before the multitude. And they ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets. Well, here's the self-centeredness. And this is something that we have to be careful of. Now, I understand we have to keep balance. But here's something we need to understand about ministry and looking at these disciples. We should never lose the thrill of being God called and being able to be a part of God's work. You see, we look at them and we say they're multitudes. But I believe this with all my heart. And folks, I love you. And I love this church. There's people in this church that I dearly care about. But if I ever lose sight of the fact that I am working for him, I'll get discouraged. I'll quit. Because they looked at them as multitudes and they said, "Send them away." But it was because they had lost the passion. You say, well, how do you figure that? It's easier to say, "Send the multitudes away," than it is to say, "God has given us this to do. Now let's trust him, let's believe him, and let's figure out what he wants us to do with these people that he has sent us." Because anything you're doing for the Lord, you're doing it for him. And if you lose sight of that, and you begin to look at people, then people are all you're going to see. Because if you're called, you're in a position that you're not having to do something for God. You're privileged to be able to do something for God. You see, They experienced and they demonstrated self-centeredness. Now let's look over at the next thing that the disciples dealt with over in the 46th verse. In the 46th verse, they were conceited about their service. It says, "Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is greatest among you all, the same shall be great." Now, if we look at this and we begin to think about it, they begin to reason among themselves which one would be the greatest. You got the same thing that happens when people, rather than looking at the work that needs to be done, they begin to look at themselves and what they want to do. You got to be really careful. Let's remember that everything that we do, we're doing it for the Lord. We're doing it for His honor and glory. And you know what you'll run into and what we run into in this day and age that we live in is you have people that are looking, and this is what a lot of people do. They look at somebody else, and the way that they get themselves lifted up is to put somebody else down. I heard a preacher one time. I was in a meeting, I was in a church, and it was a place that God had me working, and the preacher made a comment, and I don't know if it was a Sunday school teacher's meeting or just a meeting of altar workers, because I was an altar worker, but he said, "Yeah, we got a preacher coming." He said, "I went and heard him, and you know," and he did this with his hand. He said he preached some little old something like that. And he began, even before the man came, as we were preparing for service, he began to belittle that man before those people. And as he did, it's a lot of the way that people work today, okay? You know, you hear one group that's putting down another group to lift themselves up. Sometimes people will put down something to make what they're doing look bigger. Here are these disciples, they're arguing amongst themselves about which one is going to be greatest. And I want you to see something that just happened. Go back to the 43rd verse. It says, "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered, everyone at all these things which Jesus did," they're looking at what he just did, and he's trying to speak to them. He's trying to get their attention, and he's trying to get them to see something that is to come. Jesus said, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." But they understood not his saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. And as they sat and they listened to him and they pondered these thoughts, immediately their mind turned from Jesus and him saying that he would be delivered into the hands of men, and they began to look at themselves. Here's where we have to be careful in church. Here's where we have to be careful in any work that we do. We can't look at ourselves. We can't look at it as our work, or it's my ministry, or it's my service, or it's mine. It's God's. And if every person would look at the work of God in that way, can I tell you that the credit for anything that goes on in any church belongs, it doesn't belong to any man. You remember Paul in one place, and they begin to dispute, and he said, "One planted, one watered, but God gave the increase." That's why, and God had to teach me this years ago in ministry. I mean, I'd love to, every time I get up and preach, and I deliberately, and I want to do everything that I can every time, because I never know. It's like this morning, the house was full. And there were people here as I looked across the house that needed to be here. Some we had been praying for, some that were on my mind, some that had been in trouble. And I wanted the word of God to go forth, and I want them to come, and I want to do everything that I can. But can I tell you, if they line the altars on both sides and get saved every Sunday, it's not about me. And if they don't come, and I've done everything that God's asked me to do, I must not allow Satan to beat me up when I go out that door and say, well, you're not much of a preacher. People get saved every Sunday. You see, I've been in a situation to where a revival, you'd have revival in a church and a preacher would come and he would be one of those kind, you know, you had to book 18 months in advance. And when he come and he preached, it was just amazing. And then nobody moved. And then the next Sunday night, they have somebody in the church that they just wanted to give an opportunity. And he gets up and he preaches and people move. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. Well, here's these disciples saying, I cast out more devils than you. I have more charisma than you. That's my ministry. I thought of that. I thought of that. Remember the turtle going across there, and he's holding on to the stick. And the two geese are holding the stick, and he wanted to fly south. And he's biting the stick, and they look up. And they say, I wonder who thought of that. And the turtle said, I did. Can I tell you that's usually what happens to people? That's what's happening to these disciples. They've taken their eyes off the mission. They've taken their eyes off of Jesus. They've gone from self-centered and said, well, send them away, to look at me and look how good I've done. And the next thing they have is you find in them a condemning spirit. Now look at this in the 49th and the 50th verse. That's the first example. It says, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid them not, for he that is not against us is for us. You know what people say? Well, if they're not of our group, I've had people try to tell me that if I didn't believe what they believe, I'm not going to heaven. Folks, I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me. And when I get around those kind of people, I just help them if I can. If I can't, I just move on. But when we look at this scripture here, and we got these disciples, you know, they're privileged. They're walking with Jesus. And there's a group over here, and they see them casting out devils, plural. And they said, we forbade them. In other words, we told them, you stop. You can't do that. And that's what sometimes people do. You know that sometimes people, they get lifted up in themselves and they want to put limitations on what somebody else can do and not allow God to work in somebody else's life. And that's where we got to be careful. And it's where we got to be real careful that we don't, as the Bible says, quench not the spirit. See, God might be doing something in somebody's life, and we, a lot of times, this is just the way it is, because of tradition, or something we heard grandpa say, or great-granddaddy say, and some people call it parrot preaching. You know what parrot preaching is? You just repeat what somebody else says. You don't have to check it out. And they begin to say something that's going to inhibit or stop something great that God is doing in somebody else's life. And here's the thing, and God has kind of had to show me this. If I decide all of a sudden that I'm not going to follow him, that I'm not going to work for him, he's going to be all right. You know why? Because God got somebody else. If we look at this scripture, they had a condemning spirit. Have you ever thought about that maybe they had a condemning spirit because of the work that God was doing in their lives? Remember that the disciples that walked with Jesus, we just ran into a problem up here to where a man came and he had a son that had a devil, and they could not. He said, I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And then they look over here and they see these that are not with them, and they're casting out devils, plural. Sometimes the reason disciples... get upset and they have a condemning spirit, it might be because of the great work that God's doing in somebody else's life, because of their obedience that is not being performed in their life, because what they're doing is about themselves. Let's look at the other thing that tells us that these people have a condemning spirit. Now remember, these are the disciples. As we read these next few words, and I'll tell you this, that if you go back through history, not everything that has been done in the name of Christ is good. There was a time when Christianity and the things that were done in the name of Christ was also brutal. And if you look at these words in this next few verses, you'll understand why. It says, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This speaking of Jesus. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, Christ, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. In other words, they weren't going to receive him and minister to him because they knew he was just coming through on a mission to go over here and work. It says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? And Jesus says, he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now here's what I want to caution you. Look at the 56th verse. It says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. And then they went on to another village. You know, sometimes when we look at what's going on around us in the world, it bothers us. It bothers me. But I have to realize that my job, my responsibility is to present and to give the Word of God to anybody that will be willing to see it and to hear it. Jesus said, we've not come to destroy lives, but to save them. You know, the first sign, and this is a sure sign, of someone who is drifting, someone who is having trouble, is you find in them a condemning spirit. They're going to find something wrong, they're going to have something to say, and they're going to, it's almost like this, they're going to begin to find fault. And I can remember a few times in my life being in church, and I grew up in some small churches. And I remember one time being in a church, and I looked over at my wife, and I said, the preacher's going to give the church up. And she said, how do you know? I said, have you listened to the way he's talking to the people? Have you listened to the condemning spirit that he's had over the past month? Have you listened to the curtness rather than love and compassion? Have you listened to the way that he's speaking? He's going to give the church up. In just a few minutes, he got up at the end of the service, and he did. And I want to caution you, and this is something that God is really speaking to me about. What we need to do is we need to look for and find the good. And when we look at these disciples, they're an example to us. Remember, these are the Lord's disciples I'm talking about. These are the ones that eventually, every one of them gave up their life for the cause of Christ. But they had to learn. It's self-centeredness. Folks, it's not about us. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about what they did. It wasn't about how great they were. It wasn't about their name being on the sign. It wasn't about how much money they give. You know, sometimes people, and I've heard this actually happen. It happens a lot. It's not an isolated incident. Someone will say, well, I will give so-and-so to the building of the new building if you'll put a plaque with my name on it. Whatever. It's not about us. And when we look around us, can I tell you that everybody's not like us? But if somebody's across town and they're doing a great work for the Lord. I heard a preacher, he was preaching and he talked about how that he got a call. This is a great preacher. I'd love to have him here sometime. And he is still preaching. He got a call from a church in Harlem, New York. They wanted him to come up and preach at this church. And it was one of those situations. I don't know if you've ever done this. We do this at work sometimes. We give people dates that are way out there, thinking if we give them one that's far enough away, they don't want it. Well, he gave them a date out there a couple of years later. Okay, we got it. They put it on the calendar. He said, sure enough, that date came and they hadn't canceled. So he planned, he went to this church, he got up there and he went into Harlem and he went into this church and he said, they came and picked me up in a station wagon. And I noticed when I got in the station wagon that there were two men that had shotguns. We drove down to the church, and around the church was a chain link fence with razor wire, and they parked the car out front. One of them escorted me to the door, the other one sat on the hood of the car. This is a true story. He said, I asked him about it. He said, well, we have to guard the car or they'll steal it. We've got to have somebody at the back door or people will come in and rob us while we're having church. He said, I went in and he said, right in front of the pulpit, there were three chairs that had the pastor and the two head deacons sat there and they had their names on the chairs. He said, it was odd to me. He said, I come in and I got right over here and I got between these two big ladies. He said, they got to singing. And he said, I was getting bumped on both sides. And they looked at him and they said, now when we sing, we moves. He said, so I had to move with them to keep from getting hit. And he said, all of a sudden I looked and here come a bunch of kids out of the back room. And they lined up all the way across. And I leaned over and asked somebody, what's that? And they said, well, these are the children. All of these kids have AIDS. And these are the orphans, and this is the orphan choir. And they begin to tell him about how they rescued them out of poverty there in that place. And he said, all of a sudden, God began to convict me for how I was looking at what was going on. Can I tell you, everybody's not like us. And if we look at these disciples, they were condemning of those that they did not understand. But the reason they probably were more condemning is God wasn't doing those kind of things in their church. If we want God to do those kind of things in our church, we got to surrender. And when I say surrender, when you surrender, your feelings won't be hurt no more. Until you do, you'll never be satisfied. Now, when I look at this, and I feel like maybe those disciples were the disciples of John. Remember John? We read about him over here in the 7th verse. John the Baptist beheaded because he told the truth. What did he say? He just said it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. In other words, here's what he said. And sometimes this is a preacher's responsibility. When somebody comes down, and I heard this story of a preacher preaching in a huge church. He said he looked and here come a couple down the center aisle for prayer. And he said immediately God began to deal with me as they're walking down. And they said, we want prayer for our relationship. We're having trouble. And immediately as he began to talk to him, he said, I sensed in my spirit. He said, is your relationship right in the sight of God? In other words, he asked them. He said, are y'all married? You know, that's strong. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear it. Because the world has accepted so much of what's not right. But sometimes a man of God's responsibility is to deal with it the way God says it. He asked them the question and they admitted right there. He said, if you really want to be right with God, he told the man, you go get an apartment. Y'all start a Bible study. Come together if you believe it's God's will for you to be together and get married. They agreed to separate in about a month's time through Bible study and meeting with a pastor. On a Sunday morning, part of their service, they come down and they were married right there in the church. You know what the church did? They rejoiced that God had worked in somebody's life. Sometimes it's the responsibility of the minister to deal with hard issues. And that's what John the Baptist did. And because of that, he lost his life. But here's John's disciples. Remember when John was in prison and he had his disciples do something for him. John was in prison and he heard about Jesus and what was happening. And he told them to go see. And the disciples of John come to where Jesus was at and they asked him the question. They said, are you the one or do we look for another? Now, Jesus, whole different message. I can't get into this part of it. But here's what Jesus said. He said, you go tell them the lame walk. You tell them that the deaf hear. You tell them the dumb speak. You tell them that the lame are being healed. People's children are being restored. Lives are being saved. You tell them there's no need to look for another. You see, I believe these other disciples had already realized there's no need to look for another. They were going and telling the good news. And sometimes when you're trying to do the will of God, let me tell you, the naysayers are there. They're going to talk about you. Here's the way it is. They'll say, I love you, but they'll shun you. They'll say, preacher, we appreciate you, but they don't like that preaching. But here's what we should do to survive when we're dealing with other disciples. And this is what happened with these men. Number one, keep your mouth shut. Do you notice in this story, we never find where these other disciples ever written down that they defended themselves. Never did they stand up and defend and try to say, well, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Do you know the Bible teaches us it's better to suffer for doing good than it is to suffer for doing wrong? And sometimes the truth is, and I don't like this, and I said this earlier, I don't like everything in the Bible. Now, I know that surprises some of you, but I don't. I don't like it where it says, blessed are the persecuted. I don't like it when it tells me that sometimes I might be called to suffer for doing good for Christ's sake. But that's what happened with these other disciples. But you never find where they stood up and defended themselves. There are times that my wife will say, well, do you know what so-and-so said? I know, but we're not going to say nothing about it. I mean, I've had people say the worst stuff, and here's the way it is. The Bible teaches us that by doing good, we will put the silence those words. So they didn't do anything to defend themselves. There's no evidence of it whatsoever that they ever opened their mouth. You know why? If you start slinging mud, you're just losing ground. You got to be careful that you don't allow those that are coming against you to pull you down to where they're out. Just let God be the judge. The next thing is you must keep motivated by the one you are serving. Now, here's something to understand. If you're busy doing the work of God, the truth is, you're too busy to chase tails anyway. Too busy. I mean, I've heard people say, oh, so-and-so said something about me. Well, I'm going to tell them. Well, you can, but God will deal with you. You see, if you're busy serving God and you're busy doing the will of God, then God's going to give you enough to do, and what you have to do is just be motivated and keep serving Him. Keep your eyes on Him and don't let the failures or the factions of men distract you. And then the last thing, and this is something that we need to realize in the world that we're living in, sometimes something I don't understand when you look at church, is we need to keep our mind on sinners. Folks, can I tell you that we're living in a world that's lost, that needs Jesus? You know, I mentioned this morning that in this county, per capita, we have less churches than any county in the state. Amazing to me. Can I tell you that if everybody who needed Celebrate Recovery, a third or more of the people that were here this morning would be here tomorrow night? How many? And sometimes I say things like that and people look at me. I want to tell you, folks, people need Jesus. And the only way that I'm going to be able to show anybody Jesus is I'm going to have to do right and wait on my opportunity. It's kind of like this. You know, I go down there to work every day, and I deal with them people, and I deal with them customers. And I may have to work around, and I've done this before, work around somebody who persecutes me for what I believe for years, for the opportunity for God to break them to where I can speak to them. I've had it happen. I've had it happen, especially when I was on construction sites dealing with some of those rough men. And God would open the door as He broke their heart. And it's, can I tell you, it's a privilege when somebody says, can I talk to you? And they come in and they're willing to let you listen to their burden and pray with them. So we need to keep our mind and our eyes on sinners, our mind on Jesus. And if we do, then we'll be able to fulfill the work and the mission that God has for us. And when I look at these disciples, I mean, it's amazing the lessons that are in the ninth chapter that are for me and for you. And that's my thoughts on dealing with other disciples tonight. Hope it was a blessing to you. Let's be in prayer for Celebrate Recovery and our church service Wednesday night. Let's be in prayer for the homeless ministry as they go down there. And I say this also, be in prayer for our police officers and our servicemen. I don't know. I mean, obviously we had three more that were shot. You know, it was a sad situation. And I tell you, you know, I saw where every Thursday, I believe it is, they're gathering around the flagpole up in Dallas, and the police officers are praying. Let's be in prayer for them. Is this Thursday? Let's be in prayer for them. Pray that God would cover them. I have a lady that I work with. Her husband is a police officer in Noonan, and there's been several things in Noonan lately. And I was standing in the customer service area this week, I believe it was Wednesday, and she was on the phone with him. And all of a sudden, there was in the background, shots fired, and he hung the phone up immediately, and she just started crying. And I talked to her a little bit, and it's more intense than it's been. Our country needs our prayers, folks. So let's pray for our country, let's pray for our church, and lift one another up. And if you get an opportunity, let me tell you, every one of you, have an opportunity for ministry outside these doors. Our ministry in our church is not just here. And I'll say this, your greatest ministry is in your home. And every time you walk out those doors, you're walking into a mission field. So when your phone rings and you see something on Facebook, and this kind of goes along with this message, use Facebook for the honor and glory of God. Some people really do. Some people really don't. And let's pray for those in the church that are struggling. Let's dismiss in prayer tonight. Let's bow our heads.